Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello and welcome to Stage 9, Trek FM show about the people who make Star Trek. I'm Mike.
I'm John.
And today we're going to be talking about the latest lead actress in a Star Trek production, Senequa Martin-Green. But before we talk about her, let's talk about some of the other casting news which came out this week. Actually, it was last week or like 2 weeks ago. We're kind of behind on the times.
Time is as we define it, Mike.
Yes.
Red matter taught us all that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. Okay, so there was a press release that came out talking about how three Klingons have been cast in the new show. And before we talk about those Klingons, let me just mention real quickly that it was also revealed in the news that came out about Senequa Martin-Green that Akiva Goldsman is in fact an executive producer. So we knew that he was going to be taking sort of like a leadership role, you know, in the writing room, but executive producer, that's about as high as it gets. So
Does it mean a change in direction?
I think, from what I understand, he was brought in to help them rework some certain areas. I don't know.
Oh man, the more little tidbits that leak out, man.
That's true. But you know what?
Gets.
Hey, I have to say, I love Akiva Goldsman. My 15-year-old self would be like, "You're insane, Mike." But I do love Akiva Goldsman. And
oh no, I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying, like, you know, we get more tidbits here and there about, you know, changing the direction, and like you mentioned before, Nicholas Meyer saying, "Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing that Brian Fuller's gone? We don't know."
Right.
Like, okay, so like this is going to come out in the wash at some point. We're going to hear about this.
Yeah, the tell all book, which will be released, you know, for the 100th anniversary, is going to be amazing.
God willing, we'll all be here for it.
Yeah. But in the meantime, let's talk about these here Klingons. Three of them. The first one is T'Kuvma, who is he's described as a Klingon leader who's trying to unite the houses, okay? And he's played by an actor named Chris Obi, who he's going to be in American Gods. He's going to be in the other Brian Fuller show. But he's been in a number of things up to this point. He was in Snow White and the Huntsman. He was in the new Roots show, and he was also in an episode of Doctor Who. He was in The Counselor, and he's going to be in the upcoming Ghost in the Shell movie as well. So not a whole lot of stuff, but a few things. He was in this short film called Romulus, which you can find on YouTube. It's like a sci-fi short, where like a SWAT team in LA is like going up to a house to like break into his apartment and you know, take him out because apparently he like killed a bunch of people like in a public area, and he's saying that he didn't do it, and there's a twist. There's a sci-fi twist, which I won't reveal what it is because it's only 8 minutes long. So, you know, I get the impression that this was like a proof of concept thing, which was designed to one day be a feature, you know, which I guess hasn't been made. But he's in it. He plays the main character, and he was really good in that little segment.
Who knows if Discovery's a hit? Maybe that will get turned into a full-fledged feature.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, what I saw looked really cool. The premise seems really good. So I hope that does happen. So he's going to be playing like the lead. He's like, it sounds like he's basically Discovery's Gowron, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if he's trying to unite the houses.
Right. So now the second Klingon is a Klingon named Kol, who is, it sounds like, the captain of the ship, right? Of the Klingon ship, as they say. The Klingon ship. So that's exciting. He's played by an actor named Shahzad Latif. I could be pronouncing that wrong. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
You know, you're pronouncing it the way I would.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Now, he has been in a number of things as well. He was in Penny Dreadful. In the last season, he played Dr. Jekyll. And I watched the first episode of season three. Have you seen Penny Dreadful at all? Or?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Carlton Cuse produces that, doesn't he?
No, it's John Logan.
It's John Logan.
Yeah, writer of Star Trek Nemesis. He created it, and with like four exceptions, he wrote like every single episode of the show. So,
so he's like a Babylon 5 guy.
Michael Straczynski. Yeah,
yeah, that's the guy.
Yes, he is, very much so. And, you know, I don't know, I haven't really seen anything aside from that one episode, you know, which I just watched to see, you know, Latif, but it looks crazy. Like, I'm totally into that show. I've always wanted to watch it, you know, but it looks like really, really solid.
I remember my brother was really into it until I think like halfway through the second season. Like, he used to like send me messages every week. He was like, you got to watch this. And then like middle of the second season, I asked him, so are you still watching that? And he's like, eh, I got tired of it.
Yeah. He missed Latif as Dr. Jekyll. It looked like they were doing some really interesting things with the character. Like, the way that he's introduced into the show is basically like Dr. Frankenstein like asks him to come to London or something like that, because Frankenstein's going through some hard times, you know. He's on cocaine or something like that, and they, I guess, went to like college together and were like friends, and now, you know, Frankenstein wants Jekyll to help him out with, you know, his experiments and stuff. So,
well, that's always going to go wrong. It's always a bad idea.
Yeah. But he was really good in the one episode that I saw, and, you know, it was a really interesting take on the character, and, you know, he did a good job of that. So that's exciting. Cool. Finally, a deck officer or something like that. You know, it sounds like maybe like a security or like a first officer or like a security officer or something like that.
Yeah. Security sounds. I mean, they're Klingons.
They're Klingons.
One of them's got to be a security officer.
Yeah. Her name is Laurel, and she's played by a woman named Mary Chiefo. Like, I could be pronouncing that wrong too.
Yeah.
She hasn't really been in anything big. She's been in a number of indie things. Her demo reel is up on IMDb, her sizzle reel, if you want to get a sense of her as an actress in some, you know, low-budget indie fare. You can check that out. It's only 2 minutes long. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool. That speaks to, you know, like going with, you know, rap. You know, somebody who's not necessarily known for screen but saying, you know, come on board. And like, I think it speaks as, you know, as well to the writing talent they reached out to weren't necessarily all TV writers, you know, and they brought them on and they said, you know what, you've got talent and maybe you'll think a little, you'll bring a different sort of energy to things. I think that's great.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Star Trek, you know, you look back at any of the casts, you know, most of the cast members are, you know, unknowns or people who have been in just a few things. And, you know, you get your occasional, you know, Rene Auberjonois or whatever. But for the most part, it's like fresh faces. And part of that is, you know, because obviously, you know, they're cheaper, right? You can't hire, you know, 8 Doug Joneses, you know, because you can't afford them. But, but, you know, I mean, we've found like a lot of really great talent in Star Trek. So, you know, it's great to see, you know, some new talent up on the screen for sure.
Yeah.
But the reveal of the lead actress is she's not so much of a new talent. She's actually very familiar to fans of genre television, and that is Sonequa Martin-Green, who is going to be playing Lieutenant Commander Rainsford, who, you know, if you piece together all the information, it looks like she's going to be the first officer on Discovery, right?
Yeah.
But the main character. Now, Sonequa Martin-Green is easily best known for playing Sasha on The Walking Dead. And apparently, because she's still on the show, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently,
not for much longer if she's going to be on Star Trek, Mike.
Well, I mean, the article that you know revealed that she was going to be in Disco also said that she was going to be doing both shows simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's The Walking Dead, Mike. Like Steinbrenner fires people, they kill characters.
Yeah. So, you know, like, I guess they're at, like, their mid-season point right now, and she's still alive, right? But a lot of people are thinking that in the second half, which has already been shot, she's going to meet her end. Although they also do say that, you know, the new season, like season 8 or whatever it is, isn't going to start shooting until probably after Disco has wrapped. So it's quite possible that she could still be on both shows.
I think they give themselves some wiggle room, and they're going to put her in a situation where if she gets eaten, then everybody's going to be like, okay, and then they can, or they can bring her back and then kill her later, because everybody dies on that show. Spoilers.
Well, you know, I haven't really watched the show too much. You know, when it first aired, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing, because it's zombies on a daily, weekly basis or whatever on television, network television or cable television or whatever it is. And, you know, Frank Darabont is creating this. That guy did Shawshank Redemption. Are you kidding me? This is going to be the best thing ever. And, you know, I recorded the first episode and I watched it that night and I was like, this is interesting. And by that, I mean it's not interesting at all. And I kept on saying, like, I'm going to watch episode 2. I'm going to totally watch episode 2. And I still, to this day, intend to watch episode 2.
Okay, look, I watched live because I think it was Halloween weekend that it debuted.
It could have been the
year that it debuted. And it had me from that first teaser segment with the little girl zombie. And my wife and I, we watched it faithfully every week. We stayed with it until, and this will only make sense for anybody who has watched the show for a long time. We stayed with it until right around or shortly after Terminus, which is when Denise Crosby from Star Trek showed up.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, showed up in, for a very brief period of time.
But her appearance was shorter than her appearance in Jackie Brown.
Not as short, but we're in the ballpark.
Okay,
we're in the ballpark.
All right.
This is the thing about The Walking Dead, is sort of the reason why I tapped out and my wife tapped out, is because they tended to write themselves into corners, and the way they got out of those corners is they would, you know, wipe the slate clean and murder a bunch of people. And then they'd be like, okay, well, now they have to move on because everybody's dead. And it's like, oh, well, okay. I mean, I'm not against killing characters in a show. I actually am completely okay with it, because if it's there, you're in a zombie apocalypse and you're trying to heighten the sense of danger and the fact that nobody's safe. If you kill a main character, every week when you put somebody in danger, I'm like, uh-oh, this could end. Instead of saying, oh, that's a main character, they're not going to do anything with them.
Yeah.
You know, although there are two characters on that show that are just completely untouchable, but hey, whatever. I did see her on The Walking Dead. See her character. She was a good character. She was with a bunch of people that they brought on, like, you know, as a bunch at one point.
Yeah, I went back and I watched everything that she did in season three was when she was introduced, season 3, episode 8. So I watched all the episodes that she was in season 3,
and that's the prison season, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. You know, it started with her and her brother, I guess, and I guess they're kind of, from what I understand people telling me, they're kind of like a team, you know. And then there were a couple of other people in their group, and they go to the prison where the main guy is, and
Rick,
and, you know, they're like, hey, can we hang out here with you guys? And Rick is like, no. So then they leave and they go to the town with the governor. And yes. They're like, hey, can we hang out with you guys? And the governor's like, sure. And then, you know, hijinks ensue.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So, you know, I was coming into it in a weird place. It was interesting because I felt like I was kind of coming into it in the same way that her character was, in that yeah. I had no backstory, right? I was just thrown into this world just like she was. And, you know, kind of like trying to figure out what was going on, you know, keeping up with things and stuff like that, and sort of catching bits and pieces here and there, and not really knowing who is a good guy or who is a bad guy. I still don't know whether or not, what's her name, Marita Covarrubias from The X-Files. I still can't figure out if she was a good guy or a bad guy, but, you know, whatever.
I don't think she did either.
Okay. So it's kind of like her character on The X-Files, honestly. But, you know, it's an interesting thing kind of like seeing that, because I'm divorcing myself from the show itself and really just looking at her performance, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And I was impressed for sure. I mean, like she's like extremely charismatic, you know, and everything. Yeah. I did like the character that she was portraying. That storyline with her and her brother, I thought was the most compelling part of what I saw. Maybe it's just because that was like the thing that, for one thing, I was starting on the ground floor, you know, so I could follow it, but also yeah. because I was specifically watching it for her. But yeah, I mean, I liked what they did with her in that sense, and I'm interested to see, you know, where it goes. Like I probably will. I'll go back to episode two at some point and work my way
in
through.
In the arc, in the episodes that you watched, did any of them feature Rick's psychotic break?
Yeah, that's yeah. basically what happened.
That was a pretty great episode, actually.
Yeah, like he comes in and they're like, "So, Rick, can they stay?" And like he's like, "No." And then the guy, the old guy with one leg, is like, "Come on, yeah. Rick, you need to start, you know, trusting people again." And Rick's like, you could see him actually nodding, like, "Yeah, they can." And then he looks up and he sees some woman standing on, you know, like a platform or something.
That would
and he's
be
like,
Ghost Wife.
Yes, okay. And he's like, "No." And then he like pulls out his gun and he's like, "You guys better get away." And everyone's like, "Whoa, okay, we'll just leave. We will leave. No problem. We'll see you guys later. You're crazy." You know? Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, what I find to be most interesting and most telling, you know, like even more than, you know, the fact that, you know, she was in the show, or even more than, you know, her actual performance in the show, is that she originally auditioned for another role. She auditioned,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she auditioned for the role of the woman with the katana.
Michonne.
Sure, yeah. Her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It comes back to you pretty quick. It's been years.
Yes, the woman with the sword. She auditioned for that role, and she obviously did not get the role. But the producers were so impressed by her audition that they created the character of Sasha specifically for her.
I actually didn't know that backstory to it, but I would believe it because you used the word charismatic earlier, and I definitely think that is a good word to describe her character, her portrayal, her acting is charismatic. Like you watch her and you believe her and you go along with her. Like, you know, there are one of the hallmarks of Walking Dead when I did watch it that I did like about it was that they always took care to cast actors and actresses that would make you want to believe that you were watching something like this. And she definitely falls into that category because she is a very compelling actress and can get, you know, can convey things very effectively on screen, you know? So, I mean, that bodes well. I mean, the fact that she's going to be the lead is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, in a show like Walking Dead, I mean, what I'm quickly realizing is, you know, killing zombies only goes so far, right? There's only so many ways you can stab a monster in the head and watch it die, you know?
There are a lot of variations that they explore during the course of that series, though, Mike. I can tell you that.
I'm sure there are, especially since, like, Greg Nicotero has directed more episodes than, like, anyone else.
Yeah, he has a lot of fun with it.
But, you know, that to me, like, that got really boring really fast for me. And, you know, when you're doing a show like this, you know, at some point it's really got to be much more about the world, you know, as far as humans are concerned after, you know, the apocalypse. Like, how do they react with each other? And that seems to be where all the drama is. It's not like, oh no, I'm going to get eaten by a zombie. It's, oh no, that guy over there is going to kill me because he has the opportunity right now because we're basically living in a lawless wasteland.
And what's really interesting is, I agree with you, that's how they kept me invested for as long as they did, was, what, you know, the zombie thing does play itself out pretty quickly, and then you can actually see this change in the second season where they figure that out, and they say, you can see them sitting there saying, we can't keep this going forever.
Yeah,
we have to bring something really fresh, you know, in different takes to this. And that's why every season they were in a different place and every place had a different character about it. And the funny thing is, I know people who tapped out very early because when they made that switch, which is right around end of season two, beginning of season three, to more character focused, less, you know, zombie focused. I know people who walked away from the show because they said, oh, it's a show about zombies and I'm not seeing enough zombies.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, no, it's a show about people and the zombies just happen to be there.
Right. I mean, I heard that criticism as well. You know, it is kind of funny because, like, when I heard the news about Martin Green, you know, I knew that I was going to have to, you know, catch up on this thing. And, you know, on some shows, there's like, you know, oh, well, this is going to be the, you know, the Sasha episode where, you know, it's just all Sasha all the time, you know, and the fact that she's in like 63 episodes or something like that, I was trying to sort of narrow it down to something that, you know, would kind of give me the best example of Martin Green's, you know, work as a performer. So I started texting all these people, you know, like my friend Doug and Tristan, you know, and all this other stuff. And I'm like, hey, you still watch Walking Dead? You know, what should I watch? Like, I asked you, I'm like, you watch Walking Dead or whatever? And everyone's like, no, I haven't watched that show for years. you know, like, well, Tristan years ago.
Tristan and the girl are late drops. They made it to a certain point, and it was fairly recent point, and the show finally betrayed them too many times, and they said they were done with it. There was actually a whole nerd nuptial where they talked about it.
Yeah,
where it's been so long since I watched the show that I didn't care about the spoilers. I was like, yeah, whatever.
I mean, even like my friend Josh, who is like a zombie fanatic, you know, he's like, I stopped watching that show in season two. You know, that show is garbage now. It's very strange how, like, considering the fact that it's, like, the most popular show on television.
They like, keep getting renewed.
Yeah, I only know, my friend Doug loves it passionately. But he's, like, the only person I know who actually still watches it. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I do want to go back and watch it because, you know, Darabont did do that first season. It's kind of weird that they, I mean, the history of the behind the scenes stuff is very bizarre. Yeah. But
well, you know, it's, why can't I think of the guy's name right now? But he was the showrunner.
Glenn Mazzara, right?
Him. And when he left, that was the first time on the show where I said, oh boy, uh-oh. And the direction changed and I had to like forgive them like a half season where I was like, okay, guys, you got to find your feet again here. And they did for a little bit before I tapped out permanently.
Yeah, yeah. But I am excited. I am excited that Martin Green is going to be on Star Trek. You know, it's. I mean, it doesn't happen too often that we find out who the lead is of the new series, right?
That's true.
It's like William Shatner, Patrick Stewart, Avery Brooks, Kate Mulgrew, Chris Pine, and now
Martin Green. Scott Bakula.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I mean, that's cool. And, you know, I like the idea that it's not a captain. You know, I like the idea that it's a black woman. You know, I really do. And I like the idea that it's, well, I kind of like the idea that it's someone younger than me. It's like exciting. It's like, oh, yeah, young. But at the same time, it's like, wow, I'm freaking old. So that's cool.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, you young whippersnapper.
All right. You know, I'm just saying.
I think having her be the main character and having the main character be a lieutenant commander, like, she's actually got somewhere really to grow. Like, this character has somewhere to go. Like, when you come in and the person's the captain, you know, you sort of like, you know, if you make them an admiral, they're not on the show anymore. So she at least has somewhere to advance without having to have the whole, do I want the captaincy or not? Like, she can have the captaincy. She doesn't have to worry about leaving the ship if they want to promote her.
Although apparently on this show there is an admiral or two, it sounds like, you know, so if...
Yeah, different ships.
If these, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, like... It seems like there's no limits to this show in terms of, like, it's not going to fit into a nice little box or a nice little bridge.
That's true. You know? Just watch out for Commodores. They tend to go nuts.
Yes, this is definitely true. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely exciting, I can't wait to see it. I really, really can't. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, it's exciting news, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been fun talking about Sonequa Martin Green today, but that's not all we're talking about this week on Trek FM. So here's a look at what you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
So it counts as saving Earth even though they really didn't do anything. They just kind of observed history, right? If anything,
were part of it, though. They wound up being part of it, right? They probably, well, in many ways, they interfered with the saving of Earth.
Right, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, they saved the day despite themselves.
Earl Grey.
I just, this week with my students, I'm a teacher, and what is so great about Star Trek? And isn't it like Star Wars? And I'm like, no, it is not. Let me tell you why. And that's always where I start. It's like, Star Trek, this is where we could be. It is someplace where we could end up going. You know, who knows? But it's our timeline. It's our potential future.
Stage 9, a podcast about the people who make Star Trek.
We had many Ferengi, and they were all quite different. Nog and Rom and Brunt and Quark and the Grand Nagus and Moogie. They all had very different voices, very different worldviews. They were all characters in their own right, but they all fit into that culture.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows and discover what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, hit the subscribe button. That helps us out greatly and makes it easier for other listeners to find us when they search iTunes. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and you can just download the MP3 file right from our website. Before we go, we have to thank our associate producers, Jeff Sutter, Chris Steftenagel, and Norman C. Lau. If you want to be like Jeff, Chris, and Norm, head on over to patreon.com and become a patron of the network. That's patreon.com/trekfm, patreon.com/trekfm. And there you'll find all of our current goals and different milestone contribution levels, along with all the great perks we have for you, including early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. So head on over to patreon.com/trekfm and help us out. Also, we have to thank Jeff for donating our first prize pack for listener reviews over on iTunes.
Yes.
If you go to iTunes and leave a review, you will be entered into a drawing for a number of pieces of Star Trek memorabilia from the 70s, including a set of blueprints and a technical manual, etc. So head on over to iTunes, leave us a review, and hey, we'll read it on the air. If you want to contact us, you can find the network on Twitter at TrekFM. You can also find the network on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. And Facebook is also where you'll find the Babel Conference, which is our listener forum. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead and you have some opinions about Sonequa Martin Green's performance on the show, let us know. Let us know what you think. So, John, where can people find you on the internet?
Look for Kessel Junkie online. You can also find me co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig. You can find me over on The Nerd Party co-hosting Aggressive Negotiations with Matthew Rushing, who should be familiar to Trek FM listeners. And then there is a podcast that I co-host called Great Shot Kid on the Nerd Party Network with one Michael Schindler. So, Mike, what would you know about him?
Well, he hosts Great Shot Kid along with you, and that's a show where we talk about the people who make Star Wars. It's the same exact thing that we're doing here, only Star Wars instead of Star Trek. This week, we're discussing what our double features would be with the original trilogy, what movies we would pair with each films of the original trilogy.
Yes.
So head on over there tomorrow and check that out. You can also find me on Trek FM right here, producing From There to Here. We've only got a week and a couple days left before we're done with our daily rewatch of Star Trek. So that's exciting. And
I want a very last epilogue episode, just you weeping openly for 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'm recording that episode as soon as we hang up here. So look for that on December 31st. And you can also find me this week, you know, on Sunday, it's Christmas, and on commentarytrackstars.com, we're going to have our special Christmas commentary where me and my co-host Max are going to provide a commentary for a surprise movie. So be sure to head on over there on Sunday and check that out.
Can't wait.
And you can also find me on Twitter at Mumbles3K. All right. Well, that wraps up this week. Next week, we're going to take a look at a film from the main director on Star Trek Discovery, Vincenzo Natali. We talked about his movie Cube back in Shocktober, and we're going to take a look at one of his other movies next week, Splice. Thank you.